Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Deer et al. Titled, Effects of Estrogen on Cerebrovascular Function, Age-Dependent Shifts from Beneficial to Detrimental in Small Cerebral Arteries of the Rat. This article published online March 18, 2016, as part of our call for papers on small vessels, big problems. Joining me today are guest editor Akosh Kohler, lead author John Stalloni, and content expert Ines Dranjanchevich. Let's get started.
Thanks, Kara. First of all, I would like to thank to Ines and John, and let's jump into it with the first question. And I would like to ask John to briefly summarize, why did you do this study?
Thank you, Akosh. It's a pleasure to be here. In the study, we hypothesized that age perhaps enhances the deleterious effects of exogenous estrogen by augmenting constrictor prostanoid potentiated reactivity of the female cerebrovasculature. And so that's basically what started us, motivated us to do the study.
Thank you, John. And you have chosen vasopressin to assess the contractility of the middle cerebral artery. Why did you choose vasopressin?
Well, that's a good question. We had a lot of experience with vasopressin, of course, as one of the systemic vasoconstrictor hormones, and we had studied that for many years in the systemic vasculature and looked at the effects of estrogen on modulating reactivity to vasopressin. But in the brain, it turns out that the V1A, or vascular vasopressin receptor, is widely distributed throughout the brain. So it's seen and expressed in neurons and astrocytes and in the vascular wall, both the smooth muscle and the endothelium. Secondly, it causes vasoconstriction in the cerebral vasculature in a number of species, the human, the cat, the goat, and the rat. So all of these cerebrovascular systems respond with vasoconstriction to vasopressin. And thirdly, maybe to the point, is that both plasma and cerebrospinal fluid levels of vasopressin are elevated following damage or injury, including cerebral ischemia, subarachnoid hemorrhage, and traumatic brain injury. And this has been seen both in human and animal models. So the levels are elevated in those pathophysiological states. And the enhanced constriction that occurs with that, with those increased levels, may lead then to enhanced tissue damage and or brain edema. And so vasopressin may play a role in normal as well as pathophysiological states in the brain vasculature. And indeed, when one gives either a vasopressin antagonist or antiserum to vasopressin, it actually will alleviate cerebral vasospasm and the edema that follows experimental subarachnoid hemorrhage. So we think there's good reason to look at vasopressin as a cerebrovascular constrictor.
Thank you very much, John. Also, you alluded that the arachidoic acid metabolites are important in the mediation of the response to vasopressin. Here we have a great expert on this field, Professor Dranjanchevich. Therefore, I would like to ask you to give us a brief summary of the arachidoic acid metabolites and their vasomotor role, especially in the brain.
Hello, Akash. Thank you for your question. It's interesting that in 1976, the Nobel Prize was awarded for aspirin research. However, in the last 20 years, the nitric oxide was in the center of investigation for vascular effects, and arachidonic acid and its metabolites were completely neglected, particularly in relation to microcirculatory function. Although it is ubiquitous acid and is present in all cells in our body, it is key inflammatory intermediate and has very important vascular function in vascular biology. The interesting fact is that arachidonic acid can be metabolized via several enzymatic pathways. These are cyclooxygenase 1 and 2 pathway, which leads to production of prostacyclin and thromboxane. Lipooxygenase pathways, three of them most important, is 5 lipooxygenase pathway that leads to production of leukotrienes. Then CYP450 enzymatic pathway, which leads to production of 20 hits, for example, or epoxygenases, recently very important in studies in cerebral stroke and vascular activity in various pathophysiological conditions. And additionally, non-enzymatic conversion of arachidonic acid by reactive oxygen species to isoprostanes. This present paper is even more interesting for putting again into the scope the arachidonic acid metabolism in research, particularly in relations to estrogens and the effects of aging on vascular function.
Thank you very much, Inez. It was really a nice summary of the arachidonic acid metabolites. And I think in this paper, what John did and his co-workers, they put together these two hot topics, the arachidonic acid metabolite with estrogen, and the third one is the aging. So John, please tell us something about this hormone replacement therapy aspect of your paper.
Sure, Akash, thank you. Well, this is, I think, one of the most interesting problems in cardiovascular biology today. The estrogen problem has been studied for many years, as you mentioned, and I think it's far from complete understanding. We know that there are a lot of beneficial effects in animal models that are seen with estrogen replacement therapy, but unfortunately, the most recent clinical trials in humans have shown, and this would be the Women's Health Initiative studies as well as the earlier HER studies, suggested that estrogen may exert deleterious effects both in the vascular and neurological arenas. From those studies, there were a number of deleterious effects reported, increases in stroke and hypertension and coronary artery disease, to name a few, as well as increases in neurological deficits as well. And we didn't understand why that was the case. Well, about that time, we had been studying the effects of estrogen in the systemic vasculature and had noted that very dramatic sex differences in the vasoconstrictor response to vasopressin as well as other agonists such as alpha-1 agonists, and been able to show that there were clear differences in the role of prostanoids in modulating these responses to vasopressin. In particular, we noted that the constrictor prostanoids thromboxane and its precursor PGH2 endoperoxide were actually upregulated by the presence of estrogen.
Thank you very much. And my next question is for Inez, that if she would kind of allude the next level of the investigation beyond the COX-1 and COX-2.
Thank you, Akos. The metabolism of arachidonic acid is very complicated, and many factors can influence the pathways that are engaged in synthesis of its metabolites. Particularly after the level of COX-1 and COX-2, there are subsequential enzymes such as prostacyclin synthase or thromboxane synthase, prostaglandin E2 synthase, and all other prostaglandins that can be compartmentalized with either COX-1 or COX-2, co-expressed, co-induced via various tissue factors or cytokines from parenchymal cells or endothelium, and they can significantly influence the final metabolic product that exerts its physiological effect in terms of vascular relaxation or vasoconstriction. And particularly if we talk about conditions such as aging or pathophysiological conditions such as cardiovascular diseases or metabolic diseases.
Thank you very much, Inez. And finally, I would like to ask John to wrap it up what we have heard today and where this whole investigation leads and what would be the next step.
Thank you, Akash. Well, I think there are a couple of important experiments that need to be done next, and this is what we're hoping to do. First would be to look at the effects of age and estrogen on oxidative stress in the cerebral vasculature to see whether there is a change with age and the presence of estrogen in the amount of reactive oxygen species that are produced. Another interesting and related problem is the idea that with aging, the nitric oxide synthase, which is of course normally a very protective enzyme producing nitric oxide, seems to be uncoupled with age. And so the uncoupling process, instead of resulting in the production of nitric oxide, results in the production of oxygen-free radicals. The ultimate study we would like to do would involve doing some knockout studies where we inhibit the expression of COX-2 and or thromboxane synthase in the stroke model and see if this would in fact improve the effects of estrogen on stroke damage and recovery from stroke. Because in the current model, the presence of estrogen in the older animals results in more serious stroke injury and more damage, less recovery from the stroke damage. Whereas in the younger animals, the presence of estrogen reduces the stroke damage and enhances the recovery. So this is an interesting translational problem that we would like to get at with our findings and apply them by using a knockout model.
Thank you very much, John. It's really very exciting future studies and hope you are going to be able to finish it. Now I would like to thank you both, Professor Drenjancevic and Stalloni, to discuss this paper, and I would like to give back the microphone to Cara.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.